I think there might be one item. Is Mr. George Ritchie here?
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Ritchie?
Did we miss this? Why are we jumping all around?
We can't do that one until 9 o'clock.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to thank you for your patriotic contribution to the VFW's Uplink program. It is very, very much appreciated, and it went a long ways. I have two things here I would like to present. One is a plaque, one is a certificate for your kind contribution. And one is a plaque. I think we have one hanging in the hall right now.
Yep.
And this is for the VFW Uplink program, which is free phone cards for our troops. Mm-hmm. And there's two or three good things about this program. All the solicitation of donations are volunteer. Nobody gets a cut of what we take in. It all goes to National Headquarters in Kansas City, and a young lady there, chairman, of course, she's paid. It's like a 9-day-week job. And the other thing, being a World War II veteran, it's something for the troops now, not maybe later, like a lot I heard back in the early 40s. And we're still listening to some of it. So
you're right there.
The main reason I'm active in this endeavor is the fact that nobody's cutting the pot, and I'm doing something for the troops in combat now and the hospitals. We all have two type cards. One's international, and one is local, anywhere in the States, that we give to the hospital veterans. And I certainly appreciate you gentlemen's kind consideration. And I hope we can look forward to a little more in the future, because there's just as many guys and girls over there now as there were. In fact, there's more now than a year ago.
Absolutely.
So,
well, Mr. Ritchie, we appreciate you recognizing us, but we also want to thank you for what you've done for the veterans that are fighting over there for our freedom.
Amen.
And being away from their families and so forth this season, it's tough on them, and being able to correspond is very helpful to the families, and appreciate you sort of spearheading it and getting it done.
Thank
you. Glad that we could help, and hopefully we can help again in the future.
All the rest of you, and the scheduling secretary, too. Very kind. Could I give this to somebody? And I'd like
Chip,
to
Chip, why don't you? Chip.
My lady friend, as I just remember, take a picture.
Yeah. Oh. Go ahead, Dale. Dale, come right down.
Bring your camera, Jim.
Thank you. You hold one, I'll hold one.
All right.
Sorry. You just smiled at me.
Hey, Dave. You can put that in your land use report, too.
Yeah.
Tell Paige, whatever.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
And, gentlemen, I did a little over 19,000 last year for the program from March to March. So I run my year from March, because we have a big conference in Washington, D.C. in March. And that's when I make the last donation. Thank you, George.
Thank
good
you.
Thank
you.
Take
care, George.
Thank you. Thank all of you.
Public hearing, 11 o'clock.
This is a public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 99. And we'll start the public hearing with a presentation by Mr. Lank, And after that, we will invite comments by any member of the public who is here who would like to be heard. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. Gentlemen, this is an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1, 3, or Articles 1, 3, 4, and 6 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and or landscape buffers, site plans, and bonding requirements, and to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, Article 3, to add a provision allowing council to require a forested and or landscape buffer for conditional uses in residential planned communities of single-family or multifamily dwellings. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on November 29th of 2007. The ordinance was summarized and the synopsis was read into the record. We received a letter from Abel Granke relating to the ordinance amendment, which referenced that there does not seem, as written, to be provision for existing forested buffers, that mature trees already in place should not be destroyed, questioning what is the definition of a landscape, that the proposed ordinance indicates trees of a certain size with provisions for temporary ground cover, questioning why the title of the ordinance refers only to a forested buffer, that forested buffers should protect all neighboring properties, including agriculture, that allowing a period of 18 months to provide a forested buffer is too long, that it would seem that as soon as possible would help stabilize the area, that inclusion of requiring maintenance by both the developer and any subsequent home association is essential and must be retained, that there should be verification that the state forester has reviewed, that since there is a requirement that a landscape architect must design the site plan, that verification should also be included, that the ordinance amendment should be corrected as necessary, and the ordinance should be on the books and enforced as soon as possible. The commission discussed the ordinance amendment, and there was a consensus of support for the need for such an ordinance. The commission found that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the ordinance amendment. And at the conclusion of the public hearings on November 29th, did discuss the ordinance, and there was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved as presented. And that motion carried 5-0. Mr. Baker received correspondence from Brian Hall, the Office of State Office of Planning Coordination. It's actually a memo written or email written to Mr. Godwin, and it makes reference to five considerations. On page 2, under letter A, it suggested that the proposed tree ratio, Mr. Hall suggests a 60-40 ratio to allow for a greater mix of evergreens to address structural screening issues as opposed to just an open agricultural field. Again, on page 2 under letter D, he suggests that the developer with intents to use existing trees on site, there should be developed a tree preservation plan, and that this would be tied into the proposed bonding of the project with a clause that states if these trees fail within the first 18 months, then the bond monies may be used for maintenance and removal of trees from the landscape. On page 3, under letter E, it suggested that he would not recommend the use of wood chips for the whole site. He said mulching is okay. However, use of chips over the whole site is subject to cause long-term soil problems and result in failure of the plantings. Again, on page 3, he references that all planting should be done in accordance with ANSI 300A planting standards, and he referenced an example of recognized national standards for uniformity. And overall, the ordinance, he suggests adding to the qualified person listing, which references only a landscape architect, to include a certified arborist or a licensed forester. These persons can do the job just as well as a licensed landscape architect. And he suggests allowing for a clause that addresses disease and insect problems that may impact the site. He gave an example of overplanting of ash trees could be impacted by an invasive bug emerald ash borer and could require expensive mitigation if the bug entered the site. And finally, a planting list that should be considered by the county to ensure species diversity and planting of acceptable non-invasive plant species. That was in an email form.
And he was from what department now?
State Planning.
Brian's with the Office of State Planning Coordination. He was with the Forestry Section with Department of Ag
Right. He has some background then.
Yeah, the forester background.
Okay, I got you. So his comments are deemed to be pretty legit?
Could be. If you want
to. Oh, yeah. What the ordinance.
Write them for him.
Just to reference in number, page 2, letter A, we wrote the ordinance based on a recommendation of a landscape architect and installer that 70% deciduous shade trees and 30% evergreens would be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Brian suggests 60-40 to get more of a screen.
In the sense that
10% each way.
More of the evergreens.
More of the evergreen to give you more of a screening.
Might be cheaper too.
Because what we had before was more deciduous than evergreens. The second reference would be the use of existing trees that already exist to preserve them. That makes sense, and some of the developers try to do that. A lot of problems you have when some of the developers go in and they seem to cut
clear cut
all the center. If they leave what's outside, you lose a lot of it when you go in and try to clean the debris out and the overgrowth and all underneath of it, you end up losing a lot more trees. The reference to wood chipping makes sense.
It makes sense.
It makes sense as far as not doing a whole site.
Right.
Because he's suggesting long-term soil problems and maybe failure of the plantings. And that mulching, I'm assuming, he only says mulching is okay. I'm assuming he just means mulching around the plant itself to get it still stabilized. It's just to protect the soil cover. He's not real clear in that. The reference to, accordance with ANSI 300A, planting standards, we have no reference in the code to that at all. And then he has in his last overall comments, which council can consider, presently it says a landscape architect, and you could include or not certified arborist and a licensed forester.
Which also could possibly be not as expensive as a engineer. Maybe their rates are even and get the same.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Even at that, the ordinance still requires, if you include it or not, it still requires the approval of the state forester,
right,
with the approval of the commission as an override.
That's still in there.
Right.
And the intent of that was that the very first application we had, the state forester seemed to max out almost to an extreme, and the commission was concerned that it was overdone for the very first one. And after that, it kind of settled down. But we did have a listing at that time, and we need to update that listing as what's non-invasive. Some of the problems that we've seen just in comments from on certain projects is that Leland cypress are nice, but Leland cypress are sometimes affected by disease.
Bagworm?
Created by bagworms, typically. Mm-hmm. And they cause problems, and they seem to spread if they're not sprayed on at least a regular basis.
Are you done with your presentation? Can I ask questions?
Yes, sir.
I read this last night, and it says that this buffer is to be on every boundary of any subdivision, anything over four lots or more.
That's what we'd reference.
Is that minor and major subdivisions both?
I mean, that would be major.
It's
major.
If you got four strip lots.
It would be for the public hearing process.
I got a question about that.
Okay. And how about, it says that also between boundaries of stormwater management areas, open space, wastewater treatment, disposal areas, wastewater facilities, recreational amenities. Does that mean if I've got a 50, 100-acre subdivision in a cluster, and over here, and I got them all clustered together, over here I've got a swimming pool and tennis courts and clubhouse and that, I've got to have a buffer between the subdivision and the amenities?
The intent of the ordinance was to basically surround the property with a buffer.
On the outside perimeter?
Yes.
Outside perimeter.
That's where I got
the amenities, Dale, can't go in that buffer.
I understand that.
Okay. Right.
And but I got a subdivision here, and then the guy comes and builds another one, so we got to have 30 foot on each side.
You'd end up with 60 in between.
If a subdivision.
If they're two subdivisions.
Right.
If they're both developed after the ordinance.
Next to him, the farmer still farms.
Well, see, back when George Collins introduced this thing many years ago, it was because we had complaints of people living in the subdivision that were getting dust and so forth that were moving down here from the city, and they said, you know, oh, I didn't know this was farming. I didn't know the farmers created dust. So we put a buffer in there to create that. Now we're doing it between every subdivision. Two subdivisions come together. You know,
yeah, this was only in the AR district, and it was to provide, I think we had some conversation about it, wildlife corridors, and it would give some other amenities. And it didn't seem fair to just the first guy go in and be impacted with it, and the next subdivisions, you know, not have to do it.
I understand. So, I don't know how you can remedy that, but I think we're doing
everybody have to do
I think
same.
We're doing an overkill, and in a couple years from now, council's going to come along and say, I think you need, you know, all of a sudden you put a buffer between everything you don't want to see. So I don't want to see my neighbor's house. So now we make them put trees between a neighbor's house.
That's not part of this.
Oh no, it's not part of it. It can be.
Not unless you adopt.
Oh, not unless it's in here. But I'm saying in the future, council could do that.
Dale, do anything.
For instance, Mr. Lang, when you ride down 24, you say Baywood Greens there, their golf course, beautiful. I mean, hundreds of thousands of flowers and things planted in there. So he'd have to put a buffer down Route 24 so you couldn't see the golf course or anything there. It's an overkill, gentlemen. It's ridiculous.
Well, it was written to be referencing the perimeter. The commission discussed that same issue, I believe, and it was the same concern.
Somebody telling that?
Is having the landscaping across the front. It's typically, the outside perimeters, and you'd have to reference exclusion of along the road frontage. But then you could provide that the front footage or the front section along the road not be forested, but it'd be landscaped.
Would the commission have that?
Yeah, the ordinance could be tweaked that way. So the landscaping would be along the front. That would be similar to Baywood Greens and a lot of other projects. And you don't create a thick overgrowth of evergreen tree that could create a problem with visual obstruction coming out the entrance.
But the ordinance does say that you can't go around the entranceway and stuff
that. That's only at the entrance.
Right. But it does say the entire outer perimeter, this ordinance does say, and that entire is all four sides, the way I look at it.
But if it's the opinion of the council that, with the exception of the road frontage.
Is he done yet?
That would be a way to cover that.
Beg your pardon?
If you wanted to strike that portion, I mean, include in that portion an exception that would provide for a forested buffer not being required along public roadways.
But Dale, not every subdivision has a nice buffer.
I understand.
That is an exception. Many times we see just the back ends of homes where they've gone in and laid out the subdivision so that we see the first street provides for, you know, the backside. So this buffer would curtail a lot of looking at the back ends of people's homes where they usually have sheds and other things.
We need to talk about this or tweak it because if not, it applies to everybody. You know.
I think when it's an amenity like a golf course, I think they should be exempted. You know, golf courses, I don't see any reason why we have to put this around the amenity package so much when it's a golf course. So maybe a golf course and large open recreational areas could be excluded.
I got questions.
All right. Mr. Cole, you got questions?
I'm following up on what you said, Dave. I think golf courses and some large-scale passive amenities type things, which are designed to be attractive, should be exempted. So I
can you taking notes on this suggestions because we're probably not going to come to a conclusion today. We're probably going to tweak it and come back with it. Anything else, Mr. Cole?
That was it. Other than that, I think everybody ought to be treated the same. So
Right. Each
subdivision ought to have the same requirements on it. So I don't mind the
Mr. Phillips questions.
Shane, can you track down this ANSI 300 document which is referenced in Mr. Paul's letter. That's all.
Is there consensus before we go too further on this, Mr. Hall's comments that they are something we ought to incorporate? Maybe you ought to just tell them to incorporate the entire suggestion. They seem to be very reasonable.
Well, the one point was not real clear about what he's talking about as far as mulching. He just says.
I think right here from the public.
Well, I mean, it's a minor thing.
Yeah, we've not done it to the public yet.
Continue now.
Okay. I thought we would just
let's do the question.
Give our thoughts and then open it to the public. Mr. Right. Rogers?
A couple things, and this is just so it wouldn't be, it's in housekeeping, I say contradictory. And on the first page, the second whereas, it says it says on the third line of the first second whereas it says every boundary, it should say every perimeter boundary, because that's what we refer to the entire document, and it was a perimeter boundary, and that's going to lead into something else here in just a second.
Well, that's a whereas, it's not an actual part of the ordinance.
No, not the whereas. I'm talking about
the discussion.
Yeah, down where it says landscape buffers shall now be required along every boundary of any subdivision, it should say every perimeter boundary. And then if we're going to change the part with the road frontage to be landscaping, that's a concern. One thing I read in here on page 2, and we talked about this before, but it's in the ordinance, where it says forested and or landscape buffer is under 99-5 definitions. In there, it has recreational immunities as the first thing. That's saying that there can't be any walking path through this area. And I think we talked before about what's wrong with somebody having a walking path through a 30-foot buffer just to exercise around the subdivision if they desire. So that I think that should be removed.
The question there, we've had this in public hearings, which would come up, is that people tend to trespass onto the adjoining property if the walkway is that close to the property line, if there's no way to control or no fencing or anything to keep them in on the side.
What is the width of a path? 4 to 6 feet?
4 feet.
What, 4 to 8, depending on what type of path.
That was a concern that Mr. Cole brought up. We talked about it that day.
Well, yeah.
No rabbit hunting.
No rabbit hunting.
Right. Then the next thing is kind of contradictory. I picked up the next line down. It says the word streets also can't be in there. But if you take out, because further down it defines it. Right on down it says the buffer strip shall remain free of any buildings or streets. But then further back in the document on page, let's see, on the very last page on page 5, it refers to, let's see, let me take that back. On page, see, it refers in item I and J on page 4.
Page 4, I think.
Page 4, you're referring to streets. And, you know, motors, like P&Z has the right to give somebody a road through it. So in I and J, it defines that streets need to be in this or considered part of this if you read the I and J. So you've defined it there, but yet you're saying up here they can't do it. So you need to take that word, the buffer strip shall remain free of any buildings or streets. But back in I and J, you're saying streets are allowed in certain situations. So one contradicts the other there, kind of. That's correct.
Yeah, you're right.
Or would you have, maybe would have connector roads between two subdivisions going through there?
No, but it's... Well,
that's what the reason for that was.
Yeah, it's in there, but what I'm saying, right. You're saying up front you can't have them, but in the back you're saying you can if P&Z...
It shows price. Under certain exceptions, I think, is what they're referencing, maybe. I don't know. Maybe just, Jim, look at that and see if it's, make sure it's clear.
Okay.
So there's, if Mr. Rogers is confused, it means other people could be confused.
Question, see, back to what Mr. Dukes was saying on page 3. It says under, let's go to page 4. Under D on page 4, it says four lots or more, like the strip lots a farmer does in the part there, what if the four lots don't butt up to ag? Do they still have to put that 30-foot buffer in?
Yes.
Four lots now. Four
this is not
lots.
This is not the Collins ordinance.
I know that.
This is different. His was for protection of agriculture and things. This is
that
for
a major.
Yeah, but four lots are major, right?
No, four lots are strip.
Four lots could be
a
minor.
Okay.
It's a minor.
And four lots could be, depending on the size of your parcel, four lots are given, then you get four lots per, you get one lot per 10 acre over and above. So
correct.
You could actually have, I think we figured out like 14 lots on 100, from 100 acre parcel.
Okay, if a farmer then strips off four lots, it refers to in here, it says in there that there has to be a homeowner association created. Are the four homes
that are along there, they're going to have to create a homeowner association to maintain this buffer area.
The four lots are an exception unless they have a street that's served considered under the definition of a major, then they would have to have maintenance of the street.
They're coming off the county road.
They would also have to have maintenance.
There's strip development. You don't have to have.
Yeah, it's a minor.
If it requires a minor street, then it's a major.
Okay. And the only other question I have is on page 3, on section H, it talks about the perpetual maintenance plans shall be all included and require that the forested buffer area be planned and maintained according to best management practice in the forestry industry. Well, basically, we're not in the forestry business. We're just after a visual buffer. So shouldn't that just be a visual buffer or just take that out about forestry industry?
Which number are we at?
On he's section
under,
H.
He's under H and...
We're not in the timber business. We're in the
starting on the sixth line.
You're requiring the state forester to give his input on this, and a forested buffer, typically you're talking about trees, deciduous and evergreen, so that's the reason we put that in.
Well, it just sounds like to me we're in a timber business. I see that versus the buffer business. Which buffer's got trees, and I understand that, but I'm just trying to...
But it sounds like that could be modified by including those ANSI planning standards.
Right,
which
right.
Basically,
yeah, let's see what they look like.
That's what typically arborists or landscape architects use when they go out and do plantings of trees.
Sounds like a good
okay. That's all got
fancy every day sitting.
Mr. Jones.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the four lots a second on page 2, Lawrence.
Yep.
I understand. I have a problem with the entire outer perimeter, it's been studied. I know that we can use an unapproved road when it's four lots or less in turn, isn't it for a family or something in that we do?
If there's an existing road, the commission has granted
right.
approval of a maximum of 3 parcels on that existing road, being a private road.
Right.
If you apply for 4 lots or more and there's a road involved, it's a major.
Right. But if
it requires improvement,
if the road's there already, and then all of a sudden the family puts, you know, are they going to be required to do a buffer then?
If it's considered a major and has to go to public hearing, it would be required a buffer. They would have the right to ask for a waiver in that requirement.
They would have to ask for a waiver.
And we have a request for waivers in street construction.
Right. I know that we can do an unapproved road. Is it 4 lots or less or something like that? Isn't that what it is or something like that? I can't remember what that number to
count.
That's
4 lots. If it's 3, actually it's 3.
3?
If it's 4 lots or less and it goes to a major and they're creating a street, you have to make improvements to that street with a crusher run.
Right.
Or else they ask for a waiver to
do
less.
And then they have to.
And if it's over 4, it has to be paved.
It has to be a major subdivision.
The commission has the ability to waive this stuff.
They're putting a street in.
But
they're creating a street. No matter if it's 1 lot or 100, it's still got to be improved with a street. It's going to be required to buffer unless it's waived.
Yeah, they can waive anything, Finley, what they'll
do. They could. That's
they typically
correct.
Do, right.
Right.
I mean, well, if somebody has good reasons,
I mean,
they waive
it. It doesn't say that they can waive anything, George.
Right, but we've always had that flexibility built in. It seems to have worked.
It wasn't intended to go there.
Understand, but they could be held responsible. I mean, they could be.
But there's another section of the ordinance that gives the commission the authority to do that.
Okay.
We weren't attempting.
We've been doing that for 30 years.
We weren't attempting.
They don't waive much, but they once in a while, they're waiving the length of the cul-de-sac.
Right.
There's no objection with the fire marshal. That's their major concern. And the cul-de-sac, a lot of times we get them to tweak their design by adding what we refer to as might be a bubble. It's like a cul-de-sac of sorts in the middle of the road segment, so there's a way that people can turn around before they get to the end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
That eliminates the need for the cul-de-sac length, bro. Or they create a different design, delete a cul-de-sac, and interconnect it with another street, so it's a loop rather than a cul-de-sac. We get it different ways.
Now, the 18 months is from the time the commission gives them approval. I mean, I realize that we don't have any time limits now. We need something. Is 18 months something that, I mean...
18 months is what we use now for bonding methods.
Okay.
That's why we use 18 months.
That's why we use it?
That's a year and a half. I mean...
Pretty long time.
So in other words, say the market's like the market is somewhat in a down position. In other words, if they get the letter, they get rolling, nobody sells any lots, they got to put the buffer in.
Yeah.
Right.
Cost of doing business.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, do it sometime, right?
Sometimes. They got to do it sometimes.
Right, either
that's correct.
Right, but you either put the time limit or you don't have a time limit.
Well, now, I think there should be a time limit, but I don't know if 18 months is a big part.
We don't have a time limit right now. That's
I understand problem. We don't have anything right now. I do understand.
Part of the reason for putting that in was to coordinate it with what Mr. Lang said about the bonding requirement, because we're requiring this planning to be bonded.
Right.
So if
the developer goes away, there's still some money there to
do. Right, I understand that.
And we also were concerned that if we didn't put a time limit in, there might be some developers who would not do it at all and tell the homeowners association they had to do it. So that's why we said.
But if they're bonded, who cares?
Well,
if it's bonded, it protects us.
Right.
But the bonding method is 18 months.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I understand that, but if they walk away from the thing, the bond, you're going to apply it like we do with the sewer, and if somebody faults or anything like that, then get it done, and the bonding company's going to pay for it, and that's the end of that, right?
If they've carved out the roads, Finley, and done a lot of site work, it's probably appropriate for them to do that, to make it, otherwise it sits there, it helps settle things down, it if it's going to sit there for years,
I just didn't know. I'm like I said, I
softens
just didn't know
again either. Some of the harshness, and it does make the place look a little.
If they're going to go with a subdivision, they're going to bond it. If they're not going, if it's not going,
it doesn't say, but it says when the commission gives them approval, and if they decide not to go with it,
well, that's their choice.
Yeah,
right.
If they don't go with it, then we don't get the buffer, and we don't need it.
Right. Don't get right. They don't put any money aside. Nothing happens.
And the only other problem I got, you know, and I do see where they have to provide a coverage from the homeowners association and everything, because the developer is required for 2 years. And is that to maintain the buffer? Is that correct on G?
Yeah, under G it says later date of maintenance responsibility is transferred to the HOA.
Right.
Right, however, the developer shall replace any trees that die during the minimum 2-year development maintenance period. It's similar to what we do now through Public Works. Public Works approves a project, accepts right. it. Then there's a 1-year guarantee clause that the developer has to go back in and repair any damage to the road system or
right.
drainage. Something similar to that.
So we got 2 years, and then what do we hold the bond? Do we hold bond money, or how do we make that work? If you know something dies and everybody's going away, or going away,
it may be that you have to maintain the bond, and that's basically what we're doing now. We're holding the bond until we know everything's complete,
or reduce bond or something like that. Because I mean, to hold a person's bond, I would think that would be pretty. Especially if you got 3 or 4 projects going, it would be.
We have some now that are complete. They didn't do their landscaping. We're holding a bond.
Right. I mean, I do
understand. It gets their attention when you do that.
Well, I do understand that. I mean, I do understand.
The difficulty of the ordinance right now has no bite to it. It just says,
yeah, what's your problem with it if you understand?
Create a buffer. It doesn't say how or when, and there's no when.
I mean, they should. They should be able to do it.
All right. And there you go. You understand.
I do understand. George, I do understand.
What's the problem?
I'm just saying that.
You're just talking. You're just talking.
There's nothing that says. It says 18 months, period.
I do have a suggestion. This is a public hearing, and we haven't let the public say a word.
Okay.
I know.
I'll shut up.
One, two.
And it doesn't look like we're going to adopt it today anyway, so we're going to have plenty of time to talk about it. So if somebody should happen to be here, maybe they would want to be heard so we could.
Notice Mr. Phillips is on our comments are very brief.
For any member of the public, Mr. Kramer.
Oh, don't get hurt.
We're not going to pass.
Thanks, Harry. The next thing complaining about, who are you and where are you from?
My name is Ben Kramer. On page 2, if you look at one thing, it says for the 4 lots adjacent to agricultural land is being removed.
Right. You said land.
Can you go back? To page 4. And then it says 4 lots or more that is adjacent to agriculture, and then you've got other ownership removed. Now, which is it going to be? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be agriculture, or is it going to be other? You can't have it both ways here.
Where are you on page 2, Mr. Kramer?
Two? On page 2 is halfway down a paragraph from the first paragraph.
Okay. All right.
You're removing agricultural land.
Page 4. Did you say page 4?
Page 2.
I got 2.
And then on page 4,
Section
under D.
D.
Yeah.
It says four lots adjacent to agricultural land.
Right.
And then it has of other lands going out.
Really referring to different things.
So you're referring to two different things, aren't you?
Well, I think if...
Because you're removing one, and then removing the other one.
I think that might have been intentional, because in the initial, the first reference you pointed to, I think that's referring to a situation where it is a major subdivision, and then back over in the back, I think it's referring to a different situation. But Mr. Lank, I'll ask him to address that if you don't mind.
Another question I have.
Same thing I asked.
If you're on a main road, straight main road that's already there, and you're going to build four houses, does this affect the frontage?
You talking about it on the front of the road? Or like?
Yeah, because you're putting four houses right down this road. And you're saying
minor subdivision. This is for major subdivision.
But you're putting in four houses, isn't four houses a major?
No, not unless there is a. If it's served by the public road, it's not a major.
Not a major.
Right.
Okay.
But this wouldn't apply.
All right.
It's Rick. Ken. Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering. Just a couple quick questions.
Could you pull your mic up a little? So
be glad to. Is that any better?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Would this apply if the agricultural use is occurring on a non-agriculturally zoned property? For instance, if there were two GR-zoned properties or two even light industrial properties that were next to one another, but one, you know, they were all being tilled today, and one wanted to subdivide, is buffering GR from GR appropriate? In other words, this is a protection for agricultural lands, which I would hope would apply to AR1 zoned land. But I think you're going to burden the people who own that GR property, who may want to subdivide it someday themselves. If not, they probably wouldn't have bought GR property. So I would ask that you consider placing this ordinance onto agriculturally zoned lands, not agricultural uses, because there's agricultural uses on every kind of zoning that exists in this county.
So just the AR district?
I think that would be appropriate. That'd be my recommendation or my request.
And I think initially there was some, it seemed like the talk was going to that this should address the agricultural residential level four areas in a way, you know, the most rural areas of our county, to provide for habitat separations from uses and then make everybody be treated the same. So
there are some large blocks of land that the county has chosen to zone GR that the state's still calling level four. I think you all should treat it in accordance with the county's intent, which was for it to be a higher density residential development.
But we've also permitted, keep in mind, clustering. So when the guy comes in with a GR district and lays it out, he can cluster. And it's going to provide a lot.
Clustering doesn't apply to GR, unless I'm mistaken about that.
Can you cluster the GR?
I don't.
Lawrence? You can subdivide down 10,000 square foot.
Which is the same as clustering.
Clusters are smaller. Clusters are smaller. They're 7,500 square foot lots. Right. So there's a reduction.
RPC, or you can do a subdivision 10,000 square foot.
Right.
The only other question that I had or request that I had is that if there's an existing forest buffer, I would like my clients not to have to go through the expense of hiring a landscape architect or another professional. If we're going to leave that buffer in place, do we really need a professional to come out and say, yeah, those are trees? So, I mean, I'm an engineer, and I'm not qualified to talk about plants much, but if
but
it's...
you think you know the difference?
If it's an existing standing forest, a photograph of that and say, hey, we're not going to touch this. Is that adequate? Is that something that
could
be...
Does it specify, Lawrence, in this ordinance that if you're leaving the existing trees on site, is there a need to have, like I say, some kind of certification?
It's not clear. It was suggested by Brian Hall.
Absolutely. We'll try to preserve what we got. And I think Mabel wrote a little bit about that in the letter.
So
I don't feel like I need to hire an outside consultant to tell me that the existing trees are fine, so they can be left in there.
They got leaves on them, you know they're good. Right?
What it does say, Ken, is that the landscape plan may include suitable existing deciduous and evergreen trees of common local species, provided they will achieve the overall goal of the plan as described in subsection E, and provided the existing trees survive the site work activity and any changes in the water table and exposure which may result from the construction activity occurring prior to the 18 months.
The exemption I'm asking for is the requirement to bring in a specialist to...
But there could be existing trees that don't suit this.
Well, I guess that's... And if that's the council's position, then obviously you wouldn't make that change.
You'd like to clarify a little better, I guess, maybe.
What's that? Makes
it a little clarification, a little more clarity.
Well, it's 99 times out of 100, if there's an existing stand of forest, leaving it alone is probably your best bet. Maybe clearing the underbrush, but I don't know that you need a licensed professional to make that call. I think it can be made by a layman like myself in terms
of bonding would still be in place, even if we left the existing. Would there be any bonding provisions, Jim, if we
put internal roof
left existing shrubs because it, or the trees and because if they did die because of the site work drew the water from them and something killed them?
Talks about that. In here.
We still could bond. Maybe the bonding wouldn't need to be so extensive or something. I mean,
the bond covers a lot of things. It covers street construction.
Okay, just one. It's not two different bonds. It's just one. I got you. Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought we were talking about
that. We would need somebody to tell us that what's there is what we want to have there with a suitable mix of deciduous and evergreen and that sort of thing, as opposed to just being sassafras and other scrub that may not really give you what you want.
Right, okay. We're good.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Good morning. Kevin McBride with Morris Ritchie Associates, registered landscape architect. More questions than anything, and a lot of it you've already addressed, but on the first page and the second, whereas, we talked about every boundary, every perimeter boundary, and you made some provisions, I guess, for the possibility of exempting the frontage along the roads. I'd like you to seriously consider that. Then it says any subdivision in that same paragraph, and I just wanted some clarification that you mean any subdivision or just subdivisions adjacent to agricultural uses. And then in addition to that, if you look at what as agricultural uses defined in other sections referenced, it says on farm acres of 5 acres or more, and there's basically truck gardens, cultivation of field crops, which is, I think, the way this buffering was always interpreted in the past, as cleared area that was farmed for the dust and everything else. Now we've got a guy who owns 5 acres and he's got a house on it. He's not clearly using it for agricultural purposes, but he could say, based on this definition, that he is. So that's my question is
where was that?
I'm sorry, but it is in the section referenced for what is defined as farmland.
The page.
You have.
It's not in this. It's in another section of the code, and I've got it with me. But
okay. Is it another section?
Yeah.
There is an ordinance that protects agriculture with a buffer, and that's not this ordinance. So you might be commingling.
This doesn't amend. This does not amend the.
It doesn't amend it, but it references the use as farmland as defined in that section, which is pretty all-encompassing. And in the past, it's always been interpreted as just lands that were cultivated. If a guy had a forest, we weren't buffering on the developed piece from somebody who had 5 acres or 100 acres of forest and had a house on it.
Gotcha.
He wasn't using it for agricultural purposes. He was just living there in an AR1 zone.
I understand.
But this clearly states that any subdivision from now on, and earlier somebody had made the comment that if you have an ag use over here, you develop your residential use and you put your 30-foot buffer on, then he develops his 5 years later. He's required to put another 30-foot buffer on.
Right.
So you are buffering every piece.
Taking every my thoughts are we think everybody should be treated equally, and the benefits of doing that would be, and again these are the ag districts and stuff, but would give wildlife corridor, you know, some more open space, and with permitting the smaller lots in these areas anyway, provide you the ample area to do it. It doesn't affect your densities, it doesn't affect anything, but it does, I think, would benefit the community in the long run. So yeah, I think everybody should be treated equally, as opposed to the first guy get in gets hit with a 30-foot and the next guy 5 years later doesn't. I think everybody ought to be.
Mr. Cole, I did hear you correctly, and I just wanted to comment on that statement. that in fact, as landscape architects, we're trying to look at the environmental aspects and put wildlife corridors and buffers where they do the best use, which is adjacent to the wetlands and the stream corridors. That in fact would take land away. It would effectively reduce density because the perimeter is the greatest area of your site. You take something away from the perimeter versus the interior, and it greatly diminishes the amount of usable land you have. That usable land would not necessarily come out of the density. It would come out of other more important buffers for exactly what you're asking.
Could possibly do that.
On the issue of the perimeter along the roadway, I guess my thought is that Mr. Cole makes a fair suggestion regarding that area being excluded if it includes a certain area of open space, golf
passive
course.
Passive recreation stuff.
But it is important to me that we start to shield the public's view shed from vinyl siding, and that's where my support for along the roadway comes in.
Absolutely. I have no problem with a separation and inclusion, of 20 trees per 100 foot, maybe not just in a 30-foot strip, which then becomes almost like a visual barrier, but spread out between the road right-of-way and the use that you're trying to buffer, which leads me to my other comment in the third whereas paragraph on the first page. You're basically saying that you want to buffer between open spaces, wastewater treatment, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that open space should be in there. Active recreational amenities such as a pool or a parking lot for the pool, basketball course. I can understand that, but pure open space, that part of the buffer, and if you plant trees in like you're talking about, like Baywood Greens, there's no real use for hundreds of yards across that golf course. You know, you don't get to roads or houses for quite a bit, and that is part of the open space.
It's talking about boundaries of other ownership. And I think you're misreading it, maybe, or I'm not listening to you properly. But it says, you read it, the landscape buffer shall be required not only between the boundaries of with lands of other ownership, but also between those boundaries between ownership, right, and the stormwater management. In other words, they don't want. We had an issue where the stormwater management was right up against the property line. We have issues where. The open space, which means maybe no trees. We don't mind open space with buffer in it, with some trees in it. So we're just saying if the open space is going to be on the boundary, it's going to have some trees in it as opposed to just open to the boundary. Right. And wastewater treatment and other things. So we're still talking about the perimeter boundaries between properties of other ownership.
Just as long as the open space that's mentioned in here is clarified that doesn't count along the road right-of-ways. Because that's where that open space becomes, visually you have access to some of the better amenities on site. I just don't want a 30-foot buffer along all roads, is what I'm saying. I agree with what Mr. Phillips was saying. Right. I think that contradicts it. The other thing is wastewater disposal facilities. If you have a forested spray area, why would we be buffering that with additional trees? We would just, that could be included, I would assume, but not the treatment facility itself.
Right.
But a disposal area could, if it's forested.
If you have your comments in writing at the end, it'd be helpful to get comments.
I don't, but I will put them in writing and get them to you, if you don't mind.
Cool. We have to leave the record open.
Get them to Mr. Lamb.
Leave the record open for additional.
We could get a copy of those today.
I would have put it on the record. You don't have the record. He's got the record.
Okay.
At that point.
The other thing, on page two, I guess, right here, it's a strip of land not less than 30 foot in width, exclusive of any residential lot. I'd ask you to consider maybe saying less than 3/4 acre. On 3/4 acre or greater lots, it seems like you could put this 30 foot on the back without restricting the use of the lot. And we know that a lot of those larger lot subdivisions, they're subdividing the entire land. If they don't have wetlands, there is no open space on there. And to create for a 5-lot subdivision, the group that's going to manage this would be easier to do it on lot and put it as a restrictive easement on the lot.
Do you create any issues with that homeowners association having access to that other person's property when maintenance comes into play?
I guess if it's a restrictive easement on the individual's lot, you could certainly talk to the individual about him clearing his forested buffer. But we, again, having practiced a lot in Maryland, this has been going on with forest conservation for probably close to 15 years now, and we've never had a problem with that on individual lots when they're big lots.
What do you do if the individual lot owner starts cutting trees?
It's never been a problem, to my knowledge. And their density is 100 trees per acre. This is significantly more. I think you'll get a pretty good coverage. And it was also mentioned in an existing forest, you know, bonding it kind of doesn't make sense. Usually you have more trees than 20 per 100 foot. And if one dies, another one's going to grow up if it's an existing forest. And you can have understory as well as the large trees.
I think the thought there was not to make it part of any lot, just to make the prevent the issue of how the homeowners association would eventually enforce the maintenance and continued health of the buffer plantings.
I understand the intention. I'm just saying that
intent is one thing.
The intent is one thing. You're taking away a tremendous amount of usable land within the county by making all the lots along a perimeter come in.
Is there any way to quantify how many lots you think you'd lose on the perimeter or on the subdivision by having a 30-foot buffer?
It depends on how big the overall tract is. On a 5-acre tract, you're going to lose quite a bit. On a 400-acre tract, you're not going to lose much. It's not going to have much of an impact at all.
And don't we have a way that for the P&Z to make waivers, right? So.
Well, I looked at it last night, and one thing I saw
because of hardship, they usually make a waiver.
One judge that
everyone
that he's aware of is Delta don't require TIS on homes 20 homes or under. I don't believe. Isn't that right, Shane?
20. Don't we require TIS on subdivision?
But what's the number? What's the cutoff number? There is no number.
Better blow the skirt up.
More the road is on.
All right, anything else?
Just to clarify, there was some confusion about four lots or more. Isn't the fifth lot considered a major subdivision? So should
four
that?
Lots. If it's a street, it's a major subdivision, no matter how many lots there are.
All right. You create a street. If it's on a county road or a state road,
But
this would not apply to four lots stripped off with access from the public road.
Right.
Okay. I just thought if we change it to five lots or more, it might be easier to understand. The other comment I had is on page 3, section F there. Talks about a forested buffer shall be installed within 18 months from the date site work is authorized. I would put in there phasing. In other words, right. Mr. Cole's comment about it should be commensurate with construction. I think that if you have, you know, 400-unit subdivision in today's market, you're not doing it all.
Right.
So whatever portion you're doing, you should go ahead and buffer it with the phase that you're bonding and constructing.
Yeah, because I know one of the projects by Nassau Bridge, they're doing one on the backside, and it seems like the soil conservation is letting them do all the phasing and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's the end of my comments, and I'll get them to you in writing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Got one more.
Wait, there's a couple.
Thank you. My name is Pratt Dyer. Live on Cedar Neck Road in Ocean View. My initial question is that Kevin brought this up, but I'm still not clear on it. The second whereas says it's the intention of the council to clarify that with the exceptions noted herein, forested and or landscape buffers shall now be required along every boundary of any subdivision. My understanding of this ordinance was that it was clarifying and adding to the provisions of the existing ordinance that related to subdivisions that adjoin agricultural properties. Is that correct? Mr. Cole said that's not correct, or maybe I didn't hear that correctly.
It is not correct.
That's not correct?
Not the way you took out that.
I think you were here, Brett, and spoke when we initially came in. The draft did not anticipate and include a requirement that the buffer be on every boundary on the perimeter. And I think at that time when we discussed it, Mr. Cole said he felt that it should be, because how do you make one person do it, and then when the adjoining farm is developed, give the person who develops that farm a waiver so that, and you only have one 30-foot buffer. And then coming out of that, I was directed to go back and make the perimeter, the entire perimeter, include except where it would interfere with sight lines for traffic, and except where there were connector streets or stormwater outfalls.
So what triggers it? What's the purpose of the ordinance? What triggers this? The original purpose of the ordinance was if you adjoined an agricultural use, then you were protecting the agricultural use.
We already got that ordinance.
Huh?
We already have that ordinance.
I think you're saying, why do you need this one?
What is I completely don't understand.
I don't
triggers
either.
This ordinance?
The developer don't cut trees down.
It's an overkill.
No, we're keeping, well, we were trying to make the county a little better looking, and through this process of landscaping, we were directed and asked to put in landscaping ordinances.
You're probably aware we have had some situations in the
right.
county
Stormwater.
Where buffers were destroyed and problems developed.
But that was a buffer for an agricultural use. So why are we taking a buffer that's intended for an agricultural use and applying it carte blanche to everything?
Well, maybe it'd be helpful just to tell us what you think.
I need to understand what the purpose is first, because I can go on ad nauseum, but that isn't going to address what the purpose of this ordinance is. If the purpose of the ordinance is to address the situation that occurred, then the question would be, when is that appropriate and when is that not appropriate? It's appropriate when there's an agricultural use next to a project, be that, and I agree with that, be that a subdivision, a conditional use, an RPC, or a rezoning. I understand that. But if you're taking this ordinance and applying it to everything, then what you have done is the second whereas here does apply to any subdivision whatsoever. Why?
And what's the negative to that?
Because
what's
you already have, Mr. Cole, you already have setback requirements for
We didn't have a clear definition when we had this problem with the marsh farm. Is that it, Lauren?
If the problem's with the marsh farm, then it's precipitated by what reason? The reason is it's an agricultural use. If you are backing up to another subdivision, then you already have in your code, if you do a cluster, then you have a 30-foot buffer.
It wasn't clearly defined, so we are now clearly defining what it is.
Then modify that particular ordinance. No. This is a blanket ordinance. If you want to do it and you want to do it correctly, my position would be you would go back to the cluster ordinances and define correctly what the intent of that 30-foot buffer is. Because in that ordinance, you have the ability to do a fence. You have the ability to do a berm. You don't have this 70% deciduous, which somehow God has determined that 70% in the wintertime of trees sticking up without any leaves on them are preferable, which is ludicrous in my mind.
We've had a recommendation to change it.
Well, for good reason.
Yeah.
But my point would be, if you want to address this correctly, then deal with the ordinance, which is 9916, that deals with agricultural lands. Okay? Don't apply this. You already have in your cluster ordinance a provision. If you want to address that, then go to the cluster ordinance and further define what that means, what that buffer is, and what it's intended to be. But this blanket ordinance is, in my mind, it's ridiculous. It's overkill, and I think it's very damaging.
Brett, do you think my desire to see development shielded from the public's view shed is misguided?
Yes, I do. I think that the intent here is if you really want to do that, then take your subdivision ordinance.
No, I ask you, is my desire misguided? I understand this ordinance, in your opinion, may be misguided, but is it a poor goal
What are you sheltering it from? Are you sheltering it from another subdivision?
The traveling public along the roadway.
But this doesn't address that at all, because this doesn't address that. This ordinance doesn't address that at all because it doesn't affect the roadway.
Are landscaping requirements a positive?
I think it does.
It has the boundary along every perimeter as it's now written, so it would affect.
But we said we could take the roadway.
So now, okay. So let's take case in point. I have a subdivision on Route 30. Okay, it's called Pemberton. You're going to tell me what landscaping I need to put there to market that project and what's pleasing to your eye as opposed to me, the developer. That's what you're saying in this ordinance. Okay, I happen to think that I have a well-landscaped plan out there with a very expensive fence, with stone pillars and very, very manicured landscaping, which is working very well because even in this market, it's selling. So you're telling me that in this ordinance, you are determining which is preferable? You know, 70%.
You're talking about your entranceway?
Yeah,
stone
I'm talking about all along the frontage, which you're saying this ordinance would address all along the frontage of that property.
The backs of the houses.
Not that property.
Pardon me?
Wouldn't affect that property. You're talking about one that might be similar to that in the future.
I'm talking about a new one. Obviously, it doesn't affect that one because we'd be in a lawsuit if you tried to tell me that. But
I just wanted the public to understand what you're saying.
The public, yeah. Knows probably that I would do that.
Well, Brett, is it reasonable for this body to attempt to try to shield those developments that do not have that very nice amenity from the public view shed? In other words, the back of the houses, the vinyl siding, the sheds that are 25, 50 feet from the roadway. Is it an unworthy goal to attempt to shield the public from that?
I don't think that's a problem, but I think that this ordinance is glaringly deficient in any aspect. I think it addresses if you want to do that, you've got to go back to the original application.
Is it glaringly deficient or is it overkill?
I think it's. First of all, I don't even, you know, I'm glad that I came. I wasn't even going to bother to come. I thought it just dealt with the agricultural portion because, you know, it maybe I'm just not good at interpreting ordinances. But if you want to address that, you have to be specific. If there's one thing that I think we've learned over time, it's that when you do a specific application, a cluster is different than a straight subdivision. And you gentlemen have done that very well. So you need to go back to each individual process and put in that process what you want to achieve. If you want a vista along the front for a subdivision, then do it. If you want a vista for a cluster, then do it. But not, you know, each one of those are different, and the setbacks are different within those. And if you want to protect the road view, then do that within each particular application. Specifically, this blanket thing doesn't work. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're trying to do here, you're trying to, one size does not fit all, because you have straight subdivisions, you have cluster subdivisions that go from 3/4 to a 1/2 acre, you have clusters that go to 7,500 square foot lots. You have to go back into each ordinance and address what it is you're trying to achieve. The agricultural purpose here, which was the original intention of this ordinance, before it was changed the second or third time, because I sent comments in on it, it dealt specifically and only with the agricultural boundaries. Okay? That's an admirable thing. We've been dealing with that. But what I would suggest in that instance is take the existing stand of trees and leave it, unless the developer has an overwhelming desire or need to change that through drainage, change in topography, or whatever that may be. So if you have an existing buffer, then, you know, I would think that that's, again, because you don't want to go in and tear it up and you don't want to add, you know, erosion and sediment control provisions to that. So if your purpose is to buffer an existing agricultural use, then do it the way it already is under 9916, but put more teeth and more, you know, and more provision in there as to certainty. If you want to do it for the roadside, then do it. As you want to do it for the cluster subdivisions, then add it. But I mean, I think this thing, me personally, I think this falls very, very short of what your intention, I think, is honorable. This desire here to incorporate it into one.
If you left the record open, Brett, could you think we're admirable in what we want to do? Could you help us maybe, which you're always trying to do? But could we leave the record open and get some written comments, and maybe you could study this more? Because we're just kind of talking here, and we're jumping around, saying, and we're all getting confused.
Well, what you're trying to say, back to the original conversation we had, was the one issue sparked a lot of this, but then the discussion went to having a 30-foot buffer around subdivisions, and I don't think it was meant for it to be in the front in that case, but on the road. But the problem you got with is with 30 feet around it, that's not in the lot, that's on the subdivision's property, and it has to be a homeowner association to maintain it. That's cutting down on the it's all money thing, right?
Yeah, and but the question is,
but no, it's not cutting down. It's part of. I bet you 10 to 1 they don't lose a thing in their density.
No, but if you go 30 feet all the way around subdivision,
it absolutely does cut down. I mean, you don't have a clear. I guarantee you, it cuts down. Guys, you already have a formula in each specific ordinance as to what your density is. And then when you get done with it, within that particular ordinance, you can determine how you want to protect vistas and views and all of that. But you must address it individually. You can't do it through this one blanket thing. I mean, it's...
Well, we don't have... What we didn't have, we had a buffer, and it just said a landscape buffer, and it didn't have a clear definition. What we're trying to do with this is take that... Yeah. What we already have, and give a definition to it.
As to which landscape buffer, but landscape buffers differ as to application. That's my point. There's not one buffer that fits all.
We'll get Lawrence in the.
My concern is, Mr. Dyer, if I'm in a subdivision and there's a pond or lake on the back side of the subdivision, I'd much rather see that pond or lake than I would 60 feet of trees. And you know, you're there to see the wildlife. Fowl coming in, flying in, going geese and ducks, and you know, but instead you got to put 60 foot of trees there. I mean,
you're talking about the neighboring property being able to look at somebody else's pond.
Exactly, and I think that one size.
Dale, you should have bought in that subdivision on that pond.
But it's very.
You want to see that pond?
But what Mr. Dukes is saying is great. It's very presumptuous to say that one degree of buffer is more beneficial than the other. You know, sometimes you penalize people next door that you don't like by planting trees so that they can't see through to the superior vista.
Then I mean, the Planning and Zoning,
I think we need more flexibility in this ordinance.
The Planning and Zoning Commission has the ability to waiver these areas.
But the presumption is you have to meet it. I mean,
it can be done, right? That's what I mean. If somebody got up and made a good argument, Brett, like you just have done on some of these. Planning and Zoning Commission, which are reasonable people.
Says shall. This ordinance is written in the shall.
We may look at that. Okay. We'll have to
and,
look at
you know, and that's very difficult to meet. I think
it's... Adopted today. We're just...
Thank you, Mr. Dyer. You. Anybody else want to speak? Last call. Anyone else want to speak?
Make a motion we defer.
Thank
you. Let me just make a suggestion. Why don't we leave it open? I don't think time is of the essence right now. Why don't we try to see if we can get any more information? That would be helpful. This ANSI thing I think we're talking about and other issues, right? So I'll make a motion that we defer and leave the record open and don't put any time period on it. We'll just close it when we feel we've had sufficient time for 30 days. What do you think, Dale? Whatever you want to do.
That's fine. Mr. Dyer, will you put your comments in writing or?
If you so choose.
Anybody.
Yeah, and also Ken or anybody else that wants to speak on it. I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Phillips, to defer on the buffer ordinance, leaving the record open. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Mr.
No
Baker?
Time limit.
Yes.
Pardon?
No time limit.
No time limit.
We'll just close it sometime.
Can we, is there any urgency to this sign ordinance?
Do it next week.
And the executive session? Can we do that next week?
Yes, we can do that next week.
So we can. We don't have to come back. We can.
Well, you've been bailed out again.
You know, we can wait until next week. There's no
right.
Urgency, yes.
All right, we'll put the sign ordinance on for next week
in the
executive session. I need a motion to adjourn, gentlemen.
I move.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Jones, to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
As long as we get to this issue before Bud retires.
Get it done. Get it done.
Hey, Hal.
No way.
Well, they say
hey, I'm going to come back. Doing?
Well, you've been putting up signs this weekend.
Think so.
Which one is egg preservation?
Our girls need rides from some.
No, not everybody shows up.
He might be the premier to go.
Maybe it wasn't your premier, just to learn from your memory. But he was saying, like
380 to 90,000. Oh, for the ag preservation information? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was the periodic financial reports.
Okay.
Maybe right in here. Let me look, Dave.
Okay.
I got too many papers.
A lot of that stuff is back here.
Oh, here.
That was good, yeah.
Now, what was the other thing? Can I mention one thing to you, Bruce, on that? Can I, in the financial report? I mean, we tried to make note. This is interim. It's unaudited. It's not, like, there's different things we don't do every day. We don't accrue revenue and expenses in every category completely. So, like, the pension contribution, we do it once a year in December. So on the next page, on the expenditure side, like, if you look, like, there's so many of these departments that are showing under. Part of the reason for that is because we haven't expensed the pension contribution. And then, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, you know, with it. That I wouldn't, I wouldn't.
No, my primary concern is the transfer.
Transfer tax, yeah, it's up here and here.
We were up on that a little bit, weren't we?
Compared to budget. Yeah, it's down a quarter compared to last year, 15%, but it's up compared to budget. Or is it 17%? Because we try to budget conservatively.
Well, if she's interested.
Was there a report on all those numbers you were rattling on regarding Mike McGrath?
She.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. There you go.
She may not have any time, but I mean, we would even be interested in hiring somebody.
This was the request. This is a letter request that he had. And then this was just
every morning at 6 o'clock.
Summary page, just that.
We would pay her if she was interested.
We have.
Otherwise, you'd have to drive her out there.
Where'd I go with that? We had too much on every day. We've spent, you want me to write that on there for you? Okay. Just for this program, through where we've collaborated with the state, we spent $2,057,659. Towards protecting 2,471 acres. Farmland.
So he jumped too high.
Then we're stuck a big job.
Yeah.
But you know, she's pretty good. She's actually pretty good.
Now you have what's in the administrator's report, which kind of addresses something.
Like cap fee for that.
Yeah.
We have junior memberships that are $100 a year. On Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. And is that it? You have any more questions or?
No.
Okay.
Molly has 28.
No, I don't. But I'll call you. Call you later. And
yeah. Did you get the administrator's report?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yes. No, this is important. Yeah, thank you. Sure. Yeah, it's fine. Thanks, Molly.
Are you going to make it in time to eat, Dave?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You coming, Jim? Yeah, good, good.
Still rules that you can't dig up the cannonballs. You have to have one real true killer frost. I'm getting tired of waiting.
No, I don't think.